Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. What a beautiful morning it is, the day the Lord has made. And as we said, whatever our last rain was a month ago or more, it's easier to rejoice in the Lord when we get blessed with these wonderful rain showers as we did. So welcome to our service this morning. Just a few announcements I have to go over before we continue on. First, a reminder to the ladies, the women. There's this Women of His Will conference this afternoon here in the social hall from 2 to 5. It's geared towards the younger women, but any age can come. Bridget Vaith has had on her heart to do this, coordinate it. She's a college freshman down at Wayne State, and so let's support her in that. The annual church cleaning, thank you to everybody who came. We had a good turnout, very good turnout, and church gets clean from top to bottom. It never is cleaner probably all year than today. So thank you for doing that, although Sherry does a wonderful job throughout the year, but certainly this is more than what she could do. We do have communion today. We have open communion here. If you're visiting with us and know Christ as Lord and Savior, you are invited to partake of that when the time comes. The children's devotional, the keys for kids, those for July, August, September, the issue is out in the social hall against the west wall. It should have by family name or the oldest, what, fourth grade on down or fifth grade on down. You know how it works. So it's out there. Try to remember to pick your copy up after church today. Just wanted to mention that 3 weeks from today, which brings us to July 2nd, is our community patriotic worship service in the city park, weather permitting. So that means we do not have church service here. We are the host church. What does that mean? It means I coordinate it. That's what that means. So that will be on July 2nd at the city park at 10 o'clock. Just keep that in your mind. Last thing I'll mention, and the rest you can read on your own, but ladies, if there's some of you that would like to help visit some of our care center residents and shut-in members, this month of June, there is a sign-up sheet out there. So far, we only have one person that has signed up, so hopefully there'd be some more willing to do that during the month of June. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. And we do rejoice in you and your goodness, your incredible love for us that was shown in most definitely at the cross and far beyond. Every day that we live, Jesus, as you are seated at the right hand of the Father, and you live to make intercession for us. We are truly blessed and we are filled with joy and thanksgiving to be here in your presence in this sanctuary to worship you in spirit and in truth. For Lord, it is you, it is in Christ alone that we live and move and have our being. It is in you that we find all of our joy and we stand upon you, our solid rock. Accept our praises today, Lord. Thank you for filling us afresh with your Spirit. Thank you for moving among us in this sanctuary. You know every one of us by name. You know each one of our needs that might be present here. You know our joys. You know our struggles, our sorrows. We thank you for moving in our lives today as we worship and honor you as our King. We love you and praise you. And it is in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 572. You know, every once in a while there's a blip with technology, as it is this morning, and the screen is not cooperating for some reason. It did on Thursday, so hard to tell. 572 will stand in the hymnal, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. There it is. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. And so beautiful, and the words work, and God is good. Well, take a moment before you're seated to greet one another around you. Good morning. Good morning. All right. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. We have a couple special joys. Scott, my younger brother Scott, and Melody, his wife, and their three younger children are with them today and have been with us this weekend. And Nathan, our son Nathan, has his girlfriend with him here today, Katrina Moyer from Shell Rock, Arkansas. Oh, or Iowa. Oh, Shell Rock sounds like Arkansas, doesn't it? Sorry. How things come out of my mouth sometimes is beyond me. Shell Rock, Iowa. What in the world? Okay. Some other things here. Prayers for Troy Heckenleibel. This would be Lee's brother, Troy. And they found a cyst on his one kidney, and the kidney has to be removed, of course, with the cyst, and that's scheduled from a week from tomorrow, next Monday. So prayers for Troy and the family, of course. Gene Bender, is that tomorrow that starts? The 19th, so next Monday, he starts radiation. Gene Bender, Julie's dad, on a tumor behind his ear. The tumor, they believe, is benign, but it still has to be dealt with. Also, Colby Sherman, this young man from Viberg, related to Amy Nuss. There's an update in the bulletin. He's got surgery coming this week. It's called a distal femur replacement, and he's gone through a couple full rounds of chemotherapy and I think still has more to come. So prayers for him and the family. Let me see. Prayers for Clifford Herbolt. Most of you know Clifford and his wife, Lavana. He is on hospice care here at his home in town. So just be lifting them up during this time. Also, Mary Lou Hof had asked me to mention a friend of hers from Tripp, Freedom's Reformed over in Tripp. Her name is Arlene Stabner. She's had some heart issues, some pretty big ones. They were able to put a pacemaker in, though, this last week, and she's doing a lot better. So prayers for her. Anybody else on this side? Steve. Yeah, all right. Sherry and Steve Pressler, their son Matthew, his wife Jenna, is with child and due towards the end of this year. Yeah, congratulations on that. Exciting. Okay. Ron?
I heard rumor that it was your birthday here really recently. And I think we ought to sing happy birthday to Pastor.
Oh, well, okay. Yes, today is my birthday, but if we're singing happy birthday, we got to include Mark Ramos in there because it's his birthday too. So I don't know.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, Nathan. That's right. Our daughter Rachel was on Wednesday, this last Wednesday, her birthday, wherever she's at, somewhere back. Oh, there you are. Okay. Yes, anything else over here? Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads in, please. Father, we do thank you again for this day. Thank you for this time where we share our joys with each other and our prayer requests, birthdays. We thank you for another year, Lord, of strength and health, and for Mark and I, and Mark Ramos, and Mark, my brother, and I, and others mentioned, and maybe others not mentioned. Lord, you are good, and we love you so much. We pray for Troy Heckenleibel as he's scheduled next Monday for that surgery to remove this kidney with the cyst. We thank you, Lord, that you go before us. In all of these things, we pray for Gene Bender as well as they plan next Monday to start radiation treatments on that cyst there behind his ear. Lord, we come to you first in all of these things as our healer, our great physician. And we ask for your power to be at work within these individuals. Colby Sherman as well, as he's got a surgery scheduled this week, a femur replacement. Thank you, Father, for all that you do through medical science. It's incredible the wisdom you give to them, and we know it is all from you and by you and through you. And so we lift up these and many more mentioned in our bulletin who need your healing power in their lives. Clifford and Lavana Herbolt, we pray for them. Father, thank you for just being with them during this time of him being on hospice care. For Arlene Stabner from over at Tripp, Freedom's Reformed, we thank you for that successful procedure that she had as she recovers from that and is doing much better. We lift these all before you. Lord, again, we thank you for the rain, such a wonderful blessing just at the right time. We would say $1 million rain or whatever we call it, but we know it's from you, and we trust you for continued showers of rain to come through the season. Lord, that's your design. That's how you planned your earth to work, with rains from heaven. And so we trust you in it. Thank you for, Lord, just all of your creation coming to life these last couple days. Even the birds are happy. And everything greening up, it's wonderful to see. We thank you, Father, as we pray so earnestly for the natural rain showers. We pray all the more earnestly for our nation that is in desperate need of healing from a drought, a spiritual drought. And Jesus, you are the answer in every way. And we ask for the outpouring of your Spirit across our land and our world, for hearts to be turned towards you, for eyes that have been blinded by the enemy to be opened, to see Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so we thank you for what you are doing in that regard. For our troops here at home and abroad, we lift them up daily. Thank you for their service to our nation and our world. Guide our leaders, Father, whether they know you or not. Your word says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you will direct it whithersoever way you choose, even as you turn the rivers of water. And we trust you in that and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 139. As you notice, we do have communion today. So this is a prayer, the end of that chapter. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Amen. We'll stand. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. And if you looked at the bulletin, it said we're going to sing the Apostles' Creed. Well, we're not going to do that, but that was a mistake on mine. Let's stand. We'll sing the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, might be. Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Heavenly Father, we do worship you with everything within us. Part of that is as we bring our offerings and our tithes into this your storehouse with joy in our hearts so that we can continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to this community, this region, and far beyond, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, as your word says, that no one comes to the Father except through you, Jesus. And so we come and we give with hearts of joy and thanksgiving for your work in all of our lives. Lord, even the pregnancy that was mentioned of Matthew and Jenna and the others, 3-4 more in our congregation who are also with child. Thank you for the work you do knitting those little ones together in the mother's womb. And we pray over each of these. And thank you for guarding and keeping them, for little Eloise Hora, Lord, as you watch over her up there in Ann Arbor, Michigan, healing in these little ones. We praise you for your goodness in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Wow. Good morning, boys and girls. Oh, no. That was really, really not very much of a good morning. How about again? Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Oh, thank you. Good. That's good to see you all. Last Sunday was very fun, wasn't it? We had our program. That was a lot of fun. Well, today, we're going to continue what we were doing before we had our VBS program. Anybody remember? what we're studying. Oh, little lamb, we can barely see you. Little lamb is here again to help us. What does little lamb remind us of? Bethlehem. Oh, there we are. Ooh, she was a little sleepy too. We're studying about which psalm? You guys are quiet. Psalm 23, right? And who wrote that psalm? David wrote it, right? Is that right, little lamb?
Yeah, bah.
Did you come here to help us to work on it again?
Bah.
Bah, okay. All right. So, you know, I can really tell that we're all, even the little lamb, we're probably all in a little bit of summer, right? Just more laid back and quiet. But okay, let's review. We have our hand motions. Remember, we'll go over all of them up to the next one we're going to do today. Ready? Who wrote the 23rd Psalm? Get your harps up. King David. Okay, ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Yeah, there's little lamb. He leads me beside the still waters. He's drinking. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Are you guys saying it? For his name's sake. There we go. Get out your finger. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay, who's with us? God is with me. And here's the new part. Your rod, put out your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All right, how'd they do, little lamb?
Oh, bah. She's sleeping.
Little lamb, you're sleeping. Oh, there you are. Did they do pretty good?
Bah.
They did pretty good. Okay, so let's just review really quick. What are some of the things this talks to us about? Right. God, Jesus, they care for us. They care for us and they love us so much. What else, little lamb?
Bah.
Oh, they take care of us, right? God provides for us. He makes sure that we get our rest and our food and our water. What else, little lamb?
Bah.
Yes. When we do something that's kind of wrong, or we might do the right wrong thing, he restores us. He brings us back to himself. Anything else, little lamb?
Bah.
Right. And he also, when we go through dark places in our lives, maybe scary places, we don't go alone, do we? No. He protects us. God is with us. He never leaves us, right? Do you boys and girls know that? Does God ever leave us? Jesus ever leave us? No. They're with us. And now this last part. What is the last part, little lamb?
Bah.
Right. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. So the rod, he's going to protect us. And then we are what? Watch up here. It's kind of like a hug. We're comforted. Okay? So should we do it really quick one time through? Can you stay up with me? Yeah. Little lamb, can you stay up with us?
Bah.
All right, you ready? Ready? 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, did I mess up?
Yes.
I did. Okay. He leads me in, this is what happened last time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, I'm messing up. Help me, Pastor Mike, or sheep, little lamb. The Lord is, I know. All right, we have to go slower. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Phew! We got through it, didn't we? Okay. By the end, we should all know it, right? They should know it too. Okay, the right way. Okay, let's pray. Fold your hands, close your eyes. Father God, we're so grateful for this day and for this all these boys and girls that you've brought to us this day, Lord. We just thank you for Jesus above all. We thank you, Jesus, you're our good shepherd. You take care of us. You provide for us. You are always with us. We never have to be afraid with you. You will lead us and protect us. Help these boys and girls wherever they go this week to be a light shining for you. Watch over them, bless them, and protect them. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, that was weak. We pray.
Amen.
There we go. You can get your papers now. Okay, I'm going to help
Amen.
Her.
Amen. Okay, we're going to sing number 366, I live because he is risen. I live because he is risen. I live with power over sin. I live because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. I live. I live because he is risen. I live with power over sin. I live because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. I live. Amen. Let's bow our heads once more, please. Father, we thank you that because Jesus lives, we live. Your Spirit lives in us to guide and direct us. We thank you for your Word, the very living Word of God that we have so freely available to us today in every form that we could ever imagine. And so we look into your word now. Thank you, Jesus, for being our good shepherd, guiding us through every day of this life that we live, step by step, day by day. We surrender our lives to you. Father, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, that my words would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they could be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us try to say the 23rd Psalm together. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Well, those of you that have been with us all along, you know this is We're going through this piece by piece. We started it late spring and continue on. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm for whatever phase of life we are in, whatever age we are in. As it starts out, he speaks of the blessings that Jesus, our good shepherd, gives to us. John 10, he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We know the Bible always also says we are his sheep. So the blessings of green pastures and still waters, our souls being restored and refreshed and leading us in the paths of righteousness. And as 2 weeks ago, then we saw that it was as we follow him in the paths of righteousness, right living, it was on the paths of righteousness that we are led into the valley of the shadow of death. As each step is just a progression higher in our walk with him. I'm not going to review all that, but just briefly, we talked about the two parts of that. One is literally when we leave this earth, pass through the valley of the shadow of death and enter heaven. The other part of it is as we walk through trials of this life, through the valleys of the shadow of death. And that shadow does not hurt. A shadow doesn't hurt us as we are in Christ. It doesn't. So today is the phrase, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So a good shepherd, naturally speaking, and Jesus as our good shepherd, spiritually speaking, has both. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod represents his power and his authority. The staff represents compassion and kindness. One book that I've been reading through by a gentleman named Larry Guthrie, he had this to say about this statement. The rod without the staff leads to harshness. Think about with our children. If it's only the rod without the staff, things can be too harsh. On the other hand, the staff without the rod leads to permissiveness. If there's no rod of correction, then it's like anything goes, which we see very much of today in which we live. So the rod, thy rod and thy staff, I know this is sort of a cheap prop, but anyway, this is the staff, the shepherd's staff. This is the rod, okay? The rod would have been certainly much stronger. This is just plastic. They both would have been. But this, the shepherd would have had both of these items. Any good shepherd would. So we're going to focus more today on the rod, all right? So if anybody's nodding off, I can... I see you. No. We're going to focus on this. And even the boys, as they started herding sheep very young, we know David did as a boy. From what I've read, commentaries on this, that the children, as they got to select their rod, that was a very special thing, a very meaningful thing. Obviously, it would have been some part of a tree branch, whether they cut it off or whether it was broken off and laying there, but they took great care in preparing that, whittling it, carving it, just how they wanted it, smoothing it, maybe having a sharp point on the end of it. And they spent much time in training so that they could operate that rod, their rod, with skill and precision as they needed it. If we think again back on the side of us as parents, thy rod and thy staff, as we discipline and train our children, Proverbs 13:24 says this about the rod. Those who spare the rod hate their children. Most parents know that verse. Maybe some children know that verse too. But those who love them are diligent to discipline them, right? Those who spare the rod hate their children. Well, I think of that verse, I think of this family that we knew during our time with the Navajos. Some of you older ones have heard me tell this, but this one mom, her little guy, his nickname was Sunshine, and he was a cute little guy. But she told me more than once, she had two girls older, and then Sunshine was the littlest one. And we talk about the children and discipline and some of that. And she said, would say, Mike, Pastor Mike, you know, I just cannot discipline or spank my little sunshine. I just can't do it. And he was young when we left from there. And I've always wondered what happened, how that little sunshine grew up. If he's still her little sunshine or if he's her little tornado. Because he had no discipline as a child. No, it has to be. And the rod represents God's word. It does. We think of Moses up on Mount Sinai. What was he doing out there in the desert? He was herding sheep. And when he saw that burning bush, he goes up to check it out, and God speaks to him. This is Exodus chapter 4, and God says, what is that in your hand? In King James, New King James, Moses' answer was a rod. Remember what he did? God told him, throw it down. And what happened to that rod? Turned into a snake, right. And then he had him pick it back up again. So thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So I said it earlier, we're going to focus on the rod, the shepherd's rod, which also is compared to God's word. And what are the uses of that in Scripture and for our lives? So first, if you're doing your outline there, we see it as an instrument of protection. The rod of God, his word, it is. And we need to know that. The Scriptures, 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be self-controlled and alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Well, naturally speaking with the sheep, there were predators. So we talked about earlier on, maybe a month ago, the sheep, a sheep is a prey species, P-R-E-Y. They are not predators. Their only defense, main defense mechanism is to run. That's what sheep do. They run in danger. They don't know how to really defend themselves. So the predators are the coyotes, the wolves, the mountain lions, the bears, the cougars, wild packs of dogs, all those things that go after the sheep. Naturally speaking, David was very skilled with that rod and the staff too, but we're focusing on this part. Even when he went down at his father's request to check on his brothers, when Goliath was out there taunting the armies of Israel and nobody would go to fight him, and here comes David, this teenage boy, with food, cheese, grain, bread for them, but he also hears Goliath, doesn't he? And he says, wants to know what's going on. And he's like, I can fight him. His older brother gets mad at him. Oh, you are so filled with pride. What are you doing? Go back to those few sheep that you have responsibility for. And David, no, he went on to King Saul. And even King Saul says, you're only a boy. You can't go out and fight against Goliath. He's been a fighting man from his youth. But this, listen to this part, David's answer. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it. That's what the rod was for. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, the bear, whatever it was, I seized it by its hair, struck it, killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. And so we have authority with God's word, and we need to know how to use it with skill and precision. We see Jesus using it with skill and precision in Matthew 4, Luke 4. When he's out in the wilderness, the temptation, we know these, you should know these. The first temptation, Satan comes to him after he had fasted for 40 days. If you are the Son of God, he was, he knew he was, then command these stones to be bread. And he could have done it, but it would have been sin. And what did he say? It is written. Each of the three times he's quoting from Deuteronomy, Old Testament. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? By every what? Word. Okay. They're about as sleepy as the kids. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then he takes them up to the highest point of the temple. Throw yourself down from here. And then Satan quotes scripture. He knows what's in the Bible. But he twists it. He always twists it. That's what he does. He does it still today. We see it countless ways in our culture. If he's quoting Psalm 91, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here because it is written, and he's quoting, he will give his angels charge over you, and they will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is also written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Third, up to the highest mountain peak, shows him the kingdoms of the world. If you will bow down and worship me, all these kingdoms will be yours. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship and serve the Lord your God only. And the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. He's using the sword of the Spirit. You look at through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the time he's saying to the Pharisees, to the people, it is written, it is written, it is written. And so we are to use the rod, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God against the enemy in the same way. Quote the word to him. It is written, because he, as Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide, penetrates between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. His word does that. So it is an instrument of protection. It's an instrument for examination. Now, I just... I was reminded of this recently, actually, before, right about the time when Stella Nuss passed and went to heaven, and her family was telling me about this story that she shared when she used to teach. It was either Sunday school or confirmation, way back. The kids were learning the 23rd Psalm, one by one. You say it, you say it, you say it. This one little boy, he's saying it so proudly. And when he gets to this verse 4 part, he says, thy rod and thy reel, they comfort me. Well, guess where his mind was at? Fishing that day. So if your mind's on fishing, get it back here. It's not thy rod and thy reel, it's thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? So it's an instrument for protection. It is an instrument for examination. And this fits in so well because we are coming to the Lord's Supper here in a little while. Listen to this quote. This is from another book by W. Philip Keller. Regarding, think about the rod, okay? The shepherd, as each sheep comes out of the corral and through the gate. Well, who's the gate? Yeah, Jesus. Earlier in John 10, he says, I am the gate. So, they come out of the corral, through the gate, is stopped by the shepherd's outstretched rod. He opens the fleece with the rod. I'm sure the hand one and the rod. He's spreading it apart, okay? He opens the fleece with the rod. He runs his skillful hands over the body. He feels for any sign of trouble. He examines the sheep with great care to see that all is well. This is a most searching process, entailing every intimate detail. It is also a great, listen to this, comfort to the sheep. It's what we're talking about. For only in this way can its hidden problems be laid bare before the shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We need that. Psalm 139, that's why I read that for the offering. That's our prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. How about you say this after me, phrase by phrase, okay? Sort of like vows here, all right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. and lead me in the way everlasting. Yeah, that's a prayer to our good shepherd, asking him to examine us. 1 Corinthians 11, when we come to the table, we're told, let a man examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Now, if you're looking at your outline, I know some of you do, in your outline, that next verse, it said, I have Exodus in there, chapter 20. That's my fault. It's supposed to be Ezekiel. How my fingers typed Exodus, I don't know. But it's Ezekiel. But listen to this. God is speaking. This is a time of judgment and restoration to the people of Israel. And he says this, I will take note of you as you pass under my rod. Isn't that interesting? I'll bring you into the bond of the covenant. I'll purge you of those who revolt and rebel against you. The rod, his rod, is an instrument of examination of our lives, which is his word. The deal is we have to be willing to pause long enough under that rod so he can do his work. If we're never in his word, the rod, never listening to it, it's hard for him to examine our lives and for us to hear from him and convict us of things. We can all be very good of wanting to, as Jesus said, take the speck out of so-and-so's eye, but not wanting to look at the big log that's in our own eye. He's the one that examines us. We have to pause before him in his word, in prayer, in worship, and say, Lord, and most of us know things that we need to get out. And that's by the help of the Holy Spirit only and by the word of God. 2 Corinthians 13:5, a verse he says there, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Because God knows everything about us, right? We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. The last one I just want to touch on. So the rod, it's an instrument of protection. We use his word in our lives every day. It is for examination of our lives before him. It is an instrument of discipline. Boundaries are set. In the natural, the shepherd sets boundaries. I've told you this all along. I'm not a shepherd of natural sheep, but I did get to herd sheep twice with a couple of the Navajo teenagers when I lived out there before Ann and I were married. It was interesting. I observed them as shepherds all of our 11 years there. The one grandpa, as he took his sheep out every day, they never walked in front of the sheep. They led from behind. That's how they always led the sheep. So, first option in this, it's an instrument of discipline as you think about God's word. So let's think about the sheep in the natural, though. As they were herding the sheep, they spoke from behind. If one was getting off that way far enough, the shepherd would call out to it. Oftentimes, because the sheep know the voice, so the sheep would come back in to line either way. Still, if it didn't come into line, then, of course, so many rocks out in the Navajo land, it's filled with rocks. So he'd take a few small rocks in his hand, throw them over there, not trying to hit the sheep, but just throw it on the outside boundary of the sheep to scare it back in. Often that would work. Okay, so what? The first way God works in us, we hear his word. We hear his word, we hear his word. It goes well if we get in line. If we're getting a little bit off, we get back in line. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I confess that sin to you. I know it's wrong. Come back to the shepherds naturally. Let's say they're not responding to the verbal commands. They're not responding to some rocks being thrown. What did the shepherd do? He'd come out from behind, get over there, and usually, you know, get in there. Well, if we're not responding to God's word and we just want to, as his sheep, and want to keep going our wayward ways, then things can get a little more severe. Maybe I'll say it that way. And then people say, why did God do that to me? He gets the blames. God's fault? No, it's not God's fault. It was the sheep's fault with the shepherd. They're getting out in the devil's territory out there where the predators are roaming around. Satan, the devil, prowls around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We've got to stay under the care of the good shepherd. And that is a comfort to us. And all three of these things, his protection, his examination, his discipline, should bring comfort to our lives, knowing that he is watching over us and loves us. One verse here, Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12, says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. So, for our own lives, yes, this applies, that we listen to his voice. For did God deal with nations? All the time, all the time. We see it with Israel. He'd warn them for over the centuries. And finally, judgment fell. And then they wondered why. And so why we pray so earnestly for our nation, for revival to come, is because I really don't want to see what the other alternative could be. And I don't imagine any of us do. We know the founding of our nation was on God and his word. Were we ever perfect? No. Did we do things wrong? Yes, of course. But we try our best to honor God. And so we pray, and we preach, and we speak. Turn back to God's word, to his ways, to the good shepherd. And he will have mercy upon us because he loves us. So don't lose heart. Stand firm in the faith as we read that scripture. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your patience with us in so many ways as your children. We know we get off track, we sin, and thank you for bringing us back into the fold as we should be. Lord, as we pray for ourselves, we pray for our nation. Again, this morning, we have wandered far from your word in so many ways. Forgive us. Lord, pour out your spirit upon us. You have in many ways. And Lord, we pray that minds and hearts could be opened to see the deception that is going on all around us in sexual ways, regarding abortion, so many things just going crazy. Father, we need your help. We know you see the situation. I know you're working behind the scenes. Do your work through us, the people that we interact with and have influence towards. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If the consistory wants to go to the back to prepare here for the Lord's Supper, we will have a prayer of confession that will be on the screen here. As we're told in Scripture, as I said, we are to examine ourselves before we come to the table. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're visiting with us, we do have open communion today. It's a very special time in our lives and in this service. Let's pray this prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, as we examine ourselves in the light of your word, we realize that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We confess our sin of not trusting completely in Jesus, our good shepherd. Forgive us for being discontent and for not being completely satisfied with the constant care that you provide for us through Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we confess all of our sins before you, We thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. We humble ourselves before you and under your mighty hand as we come to the table that you have prepared for us. Thank you for the cross. We ask that you would fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit and bring refreshing to each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd come, please. Let's bow our heads once more. Heavenly Father, thank you for this sacrament, this table, such an incredible time here in your presence. As we pause before you, as we say thank you for the cross and all that took place there, Jesus. We thank you for these elements. Signs and seals, holy signs and seals for us to see and to use so that by our use of them, we might more fully understand the promises of the gospel. Thank you for this bread representing your body, Jesus. This wine and this juice representing the blood that you shed upon the cross. Let these elements be sanctified and set apart for this time and this purpose. As we partake of them, that they bring nourishment and life to every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. You can distribute the bread, we'll hold it, and we'll all take it together. As this is being distributed, if you'd like to sing along, we'll sing a chorus from the praise book, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Comforter, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost their way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. And you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and oh, our hearts always hunger for. The Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. Lord Jesus, you are our wonderful, merciful Savior. You are the one who brings the healing and the grace, and your mercies are new every morning. Your steadfast love never fails. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you for this time. Thank you for ministering to each one here. Some that are in need of healing, maybe in their physical bodies, maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally, whatever it might be. Thank you for doing your mighty work. In Jesus' name, amen. The innermost ring of each tray contains juice, grape juice. The two outer rings are wine, for whichever you prefer. Okay. 336. There is a fountain filled with blood.
It's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. All the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. There since by faith I saw the stream that
my flowing womb sublime. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Father, for the precious, powerful blood of Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to comprehend, Father, but we know it is true, that your blood washes us and cleanses us, Jesus, and makes us white as snow, that your word says you cast our sins into the deepest depths, that as far as the east is from the west, you remember our sins no more. And thank you for you, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, consistory. There's little cup holders in the pews there for your cups, for those visiting with us today. Our closing hymn, 318, let's stand together. This is such a beautiful hymn. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. So you got to sing it out with all you got, okay? There are things as we travel this earth shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can hold our hand. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. Yes, amen indeed. And all that Jesus did there for us, praise the Lord. Please receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. God bless you all. Thanks, Jennifer, for the beautiful music.